So hello and welcome. You are joining me for The Erica Glessing Show, where you receive 8 minutes of daily inspiration for entrepreneurs and lightworkers. My next guest writes really interesting and slightly hysterical content, and I'm going to do my best not to laugh so hard that you guys have to turn down the podcast. So I can't even do it. So this is A.K. Turner, and she is the New York Times best-selling author of Vagabonding with Kids Australia. I have a lot of Aussie listeners, so they're gonna love this.
Oh, she good.
A book called Do Not Disturb Me. No, I Want to Be Alone. I really blew that one. And she started one of her children's books. I swear to gosh, I'm just sitting here on Amazon on AK Turner, which you must all go to right now, even while you're listening. Unless you're driving, then don't do that. It's called This Little Piggy Went to the Liquor Store. So welcome. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much for having me. And I have to say, I Just Want to Be Alone, that's an anthology. So I am one of many authors in that
book. Okay, cool. I do anthologies all the time. So
yeah,
I tell my authors to call themselves the author.
Well, there you go. So I should just roll with it. Yes.
Yeah, just roll with it. And what on earth? This little piggy went to the liquor store. Where were you when you wrote that?
So I was a new mom, and I was overwhelmed and shocked and saddened by how much other people feel entitled to tell you how you should raise your kid.
Oh, yeah.
And like, there's only one way to do it. And
oh, yes.
You must have your child in the same bed as you, or if you do that, you're ruining them for life, or you must feed them this way. And it's just all this unsolicited bullshit half the time advice coming at you from everywhere. And
everywhere.
I just thought this is ridiculous. So I wanted to write a parenting book that sort of called out some of that bullshit. And so This Little Piggy went to the liquor store was the result of that. So it's not parenting advice or anything. It's really straight humor, but a lot of it centers on this ridiculous role of parent that we're thrust into and how we deal with that, which occasionally involves a trip to the liquor store.
Occasionally, I agree. And now I have 3 teens, so it gets a little worse.
That's what I have to look forward to.
I know. Although one of my teens is well, they're all exceptionally interesting people. So I do like, and they're all alive. Like none of them have been mauled.
You know, then you're winning.
I think so too. And every once in a while they like fight me on something and I'll say, you know what? You've never been mauled.
You're like, right.
You've made it. You're 15. You've never gotten mauled anywhere. So my buddy system rule, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm keeping it.
That's right. You own that.
I own that. So tell me a little bit about Vagabonding with Kids. And oh my goodness, you were telling me the funniest thing before we started where your daughter said, you know, Mom, are there snacks in Brazil? So tell me a little bit about Vagabonding with Kids in Australia and Brazil.
So we traveled, my husband and I traveled a lot. We worked in movies and television for a while before we had kids. And then we had kids, and this sort of plays in again to that sort of all of the BS that you hear, but there's this mindset that once you have kids, you're gonna, you know, settle down and you'll travel maybe 2 weeks a year on a vacation to Disneyland. Like that's like my personal hell right there. I don't want to do that. So we sort of said, what if we can still travel long-term international as a family, you know, on a budget and make that work? Like let's figure out how to make that work. So we started traveling, our first trip, well, we did a 1 month trip to Mexico to experiment, and we did a 3 month trip to the same place. So we were just sort of figuring things out. Just
and how old were your kids at that time?
The first trip, they were 2 and 4. And then for the first 3 month trip, they were 3 and 5.
Do you know, I have this memory. I took all my kids to Hawaii when they were little. And when I say little, we had 3 car seats.
Oh my gosh.
I was kind of scared when I got there that the rental car place wouldn't, because I'd gone one place where the rental, my son's really was really thick. And so the car seat, you know, it would flap down that front kind, and it didn't work.
Right.
And so I had this huge fear, if I get to Hawaii and they don't have the right car seats for my children, what am I going to do? And so I had Britax. Do you know what those look like? I don't know why I couldn't think myself into getting littler car seats. I don't know why I couldn't allow myself. So these huge, we've got suitcases, we've got day things. For each kid has a day thing that's like a rolly suitcase that in case the whole, we lose all their clothes, I have enough clothes for all the kids when I first arrived. So that was a big panic. Am I going to lose all my suitcase? So I have, we're walking across the street in Oakland Airport. I could just picture it in my mind's eye. And my husband, he was just like losing it.
Because you're crazy.
I was so crazy. And I have to tell you one more funny story. We got to Hawaii. Everything went great, though. It was a fabulous vacation. Even though my baby was like 9 months old. And my oldest was 3. But as we were, it was a really fun vacation. When we returned that rental car, I think there was about 3 inches of goldfish in it.
Of course. That's like your tip. You're like, here's the car back with a bonus. Here's some goldfish.
Oh my God, that's so vivid for me. So tell me a little bit about some of your key, tell us some key yummy things you can do if you'd like that to be a little less painful than my choices.
Well, I think the biggest mistake I see is people who plan and plan and plan and plan and plan, you know, and everything's like, oh, someday. And you see the same things with writers, right? People who are like, someday I'm going to write a book. Like, how about you make someday now, you know? I think you just have to get out there and do it. And you have to make all those mistakes and look ridiculous. And then you sort of figure things out along the way. And I think just like with writing, you never get everything figured out, right?
I was just telling someone that yesterday. I was like, are you going to wait? I mean, are you afraid that you don't know everything? Like, are you going to wait and write your book when you know when you're the be-all, know-all of everything? I said that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think traveling's the same way. And I think traveling with a family is the same. One thing nobody ever tells you before you have kids is that parenting is largely about managing your guilt and your fear, right? Like, nobody says, by the way, you're going to experience crushing guilt and fear once you become a parent.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with traveling. Most of it is just managing your fear. Most of these things that you're afraid of, like, everything's going to be just fine. Right. Like, did you need all those little day packs for each of your kids? You know, was all the luggage lost? Or if the luggage had been, could you have bought clothes, you know, for your kids? Like, we get so worked up about these things. And I'm the queen of that. I mean, I am just like, I get all panicky and everything. But just getting out there and doing it. Just whether you're traveling or writing, just or following your passion, just doing it, and you'll learn along the way.
Tell me something fun that happened in Australia.
Oh, I loved Australia. Okay, here's the really fun thing. This will tell you something about me. On Christmas Eve, we were in Tasmania, really far south on the southern tip of Tasmania, and we went to one of the old convict settlements because I have a really unhealthy fascination with prisons and facilities of incarceration.
Okay.
So we went to prison on Christmas Eve, like as a whole family all together, and it was super awesome, and I loved it. And then the next day, on Christmas Day, we went to a Tasmanian devil sanctuary, and we got to watch Tasmanian devils eating raw chicken. And if you've never seen a Tasmanian devil eat through a chicken bone, well, you just have not lived. So put that on your bucket list. But there were a million awesome things in Australia. We went to Australia Zoo on Steve Irwin Day. where, you know, Crocodile Hunter's family is there celebrating him. And I loved Tasmania. I loved all of it. It was great.
I love it. So it sounds to me like you both like to help authors get inspired, and then you like to be an inspired author. So maybe tell us just one more thing for authors about getting inspired and getting out of that box of needing to know every single thing before they write their book.
Well, so I'll give you the example of This Little Piggy Went to the Liquor Store. It was my first book. It was, I self-published it. I had an editor at Penguin who was interested, and we went back and forth with it for about 2 years. And then I never got a contract.
Right.
And so I was devastated, and I had all that self-doubt and everything. Well, I went on to self-publish it, and eventually it made the New York Times bestseller list. When I look back at that time of like self-publishing or being told, realizing that I wasn't going to get a contract, it felt just crushing. I mean, it was hard. And now I look back at that, and all of that was positive. Even the things that seemed so difficult to deal with at the time were all positive, because they were all leading me down this path of being a self-sufficient, independent writer. And it sort of forced me to just put my material out there and see how it was received. Mm-hmm. And I could have spent another decade waiting for,
right.
You know,
right. Madeline L'Engle with A Wrinkle in Time, I think she got 5 years of rejections.
Yeah.
And so she had like a whole drawer of rejections. And then when she turned 45, she got a yes for A Wrinkle in Time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, she had had years. And at that time, I don't believe there was as much, you know, obviously it was such a different time.
You know, like, we have really, so many options.
Yeah, you really had to have a gatekeeper. Yeah. And at this point, you really don't. You have to just name it, get a beautiful cover done. That's the only thing I'm really passionate about, is get a beautiful cover done. I don't care how the book gets published, but just be crazy about your cover. That means good to you. It doesn't mean the finest piece of Picasso. It's just like, have you love your damn, oops, your dang cover.
Right.
You know, I get on my high horse on that.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is in store, and can people reach out to you? Can they catch up with you? Can they follow you? What do you recommend for that?
Sure. I'm at vagabondingwithkids.com. I'm at Vagabonding with Kids on Facebook, on Twitter. And I love it when people reach out to me. I love to interact with other writers and, of course, readers and anybody in this industry. So I'm all over the place. Vagabonding with Kids Brazil is out now. Vagabonding with Kids Alaska comes out in December. And then next year in 2018, I'll be publishing Vagabonding with Kids Spain and Vagabonding with Kids Mexico.
And Spain is now, right? You're heading to Spain now?
No, I just got back from Spain.
Oh.
So I start outlining that on Monday.
I love it. You know, this, we went over. It's okay. It's all good. It was too much fun meeting you. Thank you so much. It is, by the way, Amanda, for anybody who was like really curious about A.K. Turner. And go head over to vagabondingwithkids.com and find Amanda on Facebook. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. This was too much fun.